This is WWE Hall of Famer, The Think, Howard Finkel, and you're listening to the Nerd Coalition.
Welcome to
No Gimmicks Needed.
Yes! 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 Yes!
If you can survive, if I let you.
You have to be the man! You gotta beat the man! Woo!
The kids do dig that sucker!
Do I have everybody's attention now?
And the things that he had to say. And I gotta go back and pull up the stuff that Leo Rush said, because there are things that I agree with and I disagree with. So Leo Rush comes out, since, you know, his clause, I think, is done with WWE, so he can come say whatever he wants to say, but Leo Rush ain't been caring.
He didn't give a shit anyway.
Leo Rush was saying this stuff anyway. So Leo Rush makes a couple comments about wrestling fans, wrestling, and how WWE treats black people in wrestling, which I'm not going to disagree with all the stuff he said. So this is verbatim what he says. I'm sick of the bullshit, and it pains me because I love this business so much. To the fans, do better. You're the ones killing wrestling and making this shit whack. All capitals. Stop pairing up black people because you don't know what to do with them. Stop that shit. Stop giving African Americans title reigns when global black issues are happening. We're not stupid. Stop that shit. And then, those were the pair of tweets that he said so far. There was the one with Finn Balor, but I'll get
and
to
the one with Finn Balor, and then the one with Naomi. I think that was the main.
Yeah, so I talked about the day with 10 times today. Mm-hmm. Now, we are all black people on this podcast, by the
all
way.
All my life.
By the
Maybe
way.
Maybe past life.
My wife, Lady Sketches, joins for this conversation.
He had to bring my black ass in here for this one.
So,
just like Brandon Mack, I've been black a long time.
So, the thing is, look, am I going to disagree with Leo Rush when he's saying, you know, that the fans, you know, can kind of make wrestling kind of whack? I'm not really, because we are a big part of the problem a lot of times also. Even though a lot of the problem, especially when it comes to Vince and his creative team and the way they think, they're a huge amount of this problem, especially for WWE. When it comes to pandering to black people, African Americans, they do that. This has happened before. I have witnessed it.
We make the jokes every February.
And it's not just black people. With color people. Let me give you an example. Jinder Mahal. That whole title reign was the pander because they signed a new deal over in India. That is the whole thing that was for that. If that thing never happened, there is no Jinder Mahal champion. That's pandering.
Yeah, because they even said he only had 3.1 million fans. How many people in Africa, in India, is only fans? That's how they act.
Exactly. To the point, I'm just like, that's not how it goes.
Same thing with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, same thing with Saudi Arabia. Same, there have been a lot of luchadors that they have tried to push to the point where it's just like, that's not how you push. Because there's a difference between pushing somebody legit and pandering. Pandering.
You can't tell me Manny from Saudi Arabia is not a pandering.
No, that's pandering, absolutely. Because who is he? That's the thing. When you pander to somebody, when they are nothing and become something, and then they go back to being nothing again, that's the definition of pandering in wrestling. To the point where Jinder Mahal has worked very hard to get the stench of 3MB off his back. But the thing is, with that being said, what has Jinder Mahal done since losing to AJ Styles? Because the thing is, I like the Singh Brothers thing. I was starting to get into the Jinder Mahal thing late.
Never did, but
I'm saying, but then
power to you.
I'm saying, but then after that, it's like, okay, well, he lost to AJ Styles, and the next thing you know, he goes to this whole spiritual thing, and then he's jobbing and teaming up with Alicia Fox. It was like that whole thing was a whole pander thing in the first place. So that happens. Do they just link up black people or people of color in teams and stuff like that when they have nothing to do with them? Yes. And to also, that works and it doesn't work all the time. Because, of course, I see him taking a shot at Ricochet and Cedric Alexander. Because they really don't know what to do with him. And it, Cedric was on the Paul Heyman radar. Vince don't like Cedric. Ricochet was on the Paul Heyman radar. I don't think Vince likes Ricochet.
No, he doesn't like him.
So, and then you can tell by how Ricochet got squashed against Brock Lesnar. We didn't even get a good match out of that.
I feel like we could have got better.
No, but we could have.
It wasn't going to be.
Because Brock likes working with the smaller guys. But if Vince didn't go out there and destroy him, that's what Brock going to do and go home. That's Brock don't care. State. Brock don't care who it is. So, there is truth in what he's saying. However, I think Lio Rush is very angry because he was doing great in NXT, in WWE in his second run. What I mean by that is after the Mandy Hour stuff and the whole last year they didn't work out, he comes back as regular Lio Rush, wins the Cruiserweight title, and has some great matches on NXT. Then he gets furloughed, he gets fired. Drake Maverick cries on camera and gets his job back. And Lio Rush don't. Look, let's just be real. Drake Maverick is talented, but he ain't no Lio Rush.
He ain't Lio Rush by any stretch of the imagination. But we have to. I was not surprised that happened because I feel like they were just looking for a reason to be like, we're not going to bring him back with everything that happened previously with the contract stuff and.
Yeah.
All that jazz.
So Lio Rush puts up, you know, stop giving African Americans title reigns when gold black issues are happening. We're not stupid. Stop that shit. Now, I'm guessing he's referring to Keith Lee, right? Prime, you still there?
I would assume so. Yeah, I would assume so.
I would assume so. This is the one I can't agree with him on.
This is the one I don't respect because if that's your man's in them, then be man enough to tag him.
Yeah, because say that. Because people. Prime now, because I had to tell Lady Sketch about this the other day. How many matches has Lio Rush and Keith Lee had in the Indies?
Plenty.
Plenty. They've had great big man, little
they
man
had
matches.
Almost as many matches as Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic had on the main roster on NXT.
They have, I mean, I can show you, like, the Battle of LA, Keith Lee versus Lio Rush,
and I imagine they're probably great.
Oh, they're great matches. They're really great matches. So he knows Keith Lee well. Okay,
so that's why I said.
Uh huh. Now here's the issue with that. Here's the thing. We are in an era because once again I'm black first, and I am proud to be that, and I'm always be proud of that. And I'm also a wrestler fan, but I'm a wrestler fan second. I'm black first, so I'm going to support my people. I want to see my people up there, but I know how wrestling works. And I just gave y'all the definition of what pandering looks like in wrestling. WWE does that often enough. But right now, we're sitting at a time where 70% of the champions are people of color. And most of those people of color are African Americans. We got Street Profits as the tag team champions. When you got R-Truth as the 24/7 champion. When you have.
I forgot all about the 24/7.
So did everybody else. But R-Truth tries to make it known the best way he can because he lost his partner in Drake Maverick. Well, he's in NXT taking himself a little more seriously. But that's another topic anyway. New Day is the SmackDown tag team champions. And then we have Apollo Crews as the United States champion. And then so
you know, any given day, usually the Usos are the
is that oh yeah
usually.
And then Keith Lee is a double champion, so I don't see because Keith Lee has been built up since he first got there. Keith Lee, I would say, is great what he does, but he needed to work. And they helped polish off Keith Lee. Keith Lee been there for what now? 2 years now, Brian?
About 2.5. Well, 2 years if you don't count him like sitting in the crowd and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So Keith Lee been there about 2 years now. Damn. So exactly, I'm saying. So he took time to pop. He had the whole rivalry with Dominik Dijakovic. There was times he had with Cassius Ohno. You know, they helped build up Keith Lee to the point where it was like, okay, we got this main card. Because when the North American Championship happened, Adam Cole was the first guy to get dead, and then they built him up. And then Keith Lee won the North American Championship, had a great feud of matches with Dominik Dijakovic. And then to the point where it was just like, okay.
And he was in the Rumble, right?
He was in the Rumble, had a good showing. First of all,
got a co-sign from Roman.
That's another thing. He was in Survivor Series to give some of that main roster, you know, camera work, mm-hmm. because Keith Lee was working in the Indies. He ain't never worked in front of that many people before. Mm-hmm. So, working with Roman, and, you know, saying get co-signed from Roman, and then go square with Brock. Those are the little things you need to help build your character up. Because Brock didn't just eliminate Keith Lee by himself. He was fighting strong. He was distracted. So that helps Keith Lee still look a little strong. And then, of course, with Roman, it's like him and Roman went down to the wire in the Survivor Series. It was them two representing from NXT and representing from SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So that's how the thing turned place. So now with him winning the North American Championship, and then now becoming a double champion, as a black man, I'm happy as hell to see that.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Is Keith Lee coming out in Black Lives Matter attire? I'm happy as hell to see that. That's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it needs to be for, like, Naomi. That man went through a journey. I stayed here. I watched Keith Lee from the Indies to NXT to becoming that champion. And it ain't like he's the WWE champion. He's the NXT champion. Mm-hmm. But that's, for Triple H's company, that's big. You're a double fucking champion. Mm-hmm. And Dennis had a title a champion versus a winner-take-all match in NXT with Dominik Dijakovic, and then won that matchup. And Dominik put him over and saying, that's another level Keith Lee. Okay? Yep. So he put that guy over. So if you're talking about pandering, I see it being like, if they had gave Bobby Lashley the championship, because I don't even know if that's too much pandering, because they've been building Bobby Lashley up too. And I would have loved to see Bobby Lashley win the WWE Championship from Drew McIntyre, which I still think Bobby Lashley has a chance to win that match, or win the championship. But look,
I still think he has a chance to win it, but just because of the way that Drew was built, like the whole year, and then him finally beating Brock, I think he's gonna win it anytime soon.
Exactly. I'm just saying, because you have got Bobby Lashley to a point where he's looking dominant again, but you have to convince, like, Lady Sketch, that's the guy to win that championship. Because she said you could put anybody in Bobby Lashley's spot, it just happens he's black. But the pairing with MVP has helped him a lot in moving away from Lana, because Lashley was doing a lot of dumb shit in the beginning. Then they booked him with Lio Rush. Then Lio Rush lost his job with that one, and then MVP is just a better mouthpiece and more established than Lio Rush is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all he need to do is bring the headband back and he'll be good.
Yeah, like Lio Rush, the thing with Lio Rush is, okay, he was young, he was a talker, but he had no clout, he had nothing to go off of.
Yeah, no.
MVP got a whole 10 plus year history in WWE, not just the wrestling business. Yeah. Things alone, and then he had the MVP lounge, which is still popping. Things still dropping. You know what I'm saying? I like the MVP lounge.
Him and his K&G fashion superstore suits.
Yeah. And then he got the nice United States Championship. Like, and he's a good talker also. That's what Bobby Lashley needs, a more established talker like that. And I think right now, when it comes to Lio Rush, I think these comments sometimes, like I said, they have truth in them. But you gotta know where you're pointing at right now. Cause I think he's upset. I'll be upset too, because Lio Rush wants to work in WWE. He said that. That's what he wants, to work in WWE. And now nobody on the talent level of Lio Rush should ever be talking about retirement at his young age. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the young age of what, 25?
Yeah. You don't think Cody wants him? They won't sign him at AEW.
I think they will, but from what he's shown, like his attitude could, like, be not helping him sometimes.
It's the same thing with Tessa, and I think hers is more elevated.
Yeah,
but yeah, nobody else but WWE will touch her because she's such a problem child.
And you don't want those problems over in the company. Same thing when it comes to, like, Jordan Miles. And the thing with Jordan Miles back then, like I said, he's an extremely talented guy also. And I'm not saying what Lio Rush and Jordan Miles are saying about racist WWE is not valid. I'm not saying that at all. There is a place where it's valid. it's not about, you know, how you say it because you don't want to upset the white guy type thing. It's just that sometimes I don't know how to really truly explain it.
I mean, the best I can say, because I'm not a veteran wrestling fan like you guys, but the best I can say is it's going to seem more angry coming from us because we black and we live in this.
Yeah.
But what they're saying has some validity to it, but it's also like you got to go through the grunt work to get where you're going. Like you just talked about Keith Lee having the journey. The problem is for some folks, they don't have the Keith Lee journey where they get built up and they have the story of, you know, them being built up to be a champion. Some people don't have that. They don't have that it factor. They're not going to be built up to be a champion. So their journey is going to look a lot different, like a Jordan Miles. I never saw him wrestle enough to be like, oh, well, yeah, he's a champion or he's not. But it doesn't sound like he was going to be in the title picture anytime soon.
No, but also, when it comes to everybody does not have the same journey. I do agree with that. However, I do think, you know, the black people need more opportunities.
I agree with that part.
And now with that being said, though, when it comes to the things of Jordan Miles and Lio Rush, these guys were pushed relatively high when they first came in. People forget that the Cameron Grimes Jordan Miles thing, he beat Cameron Grimes to win that contract storyline, and he got himself a match with Adam Cole.
Okay.
In the NXT Championship. That was the first thing Jordan Miles did on NXT. That's the first thing he did. He was at the top. When Lio Rush first came, he had that match with Velveteen Dream. He disappeared, came back as the Man of the Hour, the 23-year-old piece of gold. He just skipped NXT and went to 205 Live.
Yeah, pretty much.
But see, now, I've followed Lio Rush more because I remember Lio Rush from seeing him at indie shows. But
yeah.
Jordan Miles is a different story. But I feel like there are some folks who get pushed to the moon and are not deserving. And then if you got to sit in the background and watch people get pushed and get further than you, you get even more upset. So it just magnifies all the issues that you're seeing around you. Because it's just like...
But then you also got to make the same thing that these guys that's been speaking out, you could make the comment that they were a definition of pandering. Or you could make a definition that they were a definition of, you know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, Lio Rush skipped NXT. Now, granted, Lio Rush is very talented. He don't need NXT, but...
You need NXT for polishing, not for ability.
Yeah, not for ability wrestling, but he went right to 205 Live. Whether people like 205 Live or not, that's a main show, a main card show. It's in front of a live audience. It used to be called 205 Live because it was live. Okay, so they
was there ever live? Because I could have sworn they did pre-tape some stuff too.
Oh no! They have always pre-taped them. Now I'm saying it used to be live. And remember, they sometimes made 205 live after like SmackDown or Raw, and then they try to make it before SmackDown or Raw. I was like, this is not working. So, but he was doing that. They put that Cruiserweight Championship on him, and then on top of that, after he spent a small amount of time on 205 Live, it came to Raw. People got to remember that Raw is the best show on it. That's the most money made show. He was brought on it. He kind of skipped through everything.
You're right.
And came to Raw and was having, and I say he was more of so Lashley's manager, had a couple matches with Finn Balor, but he was on the top stage of it all. He sniffed it. He wanted that money. Because me personally, $300,000 a year, I would love that right now. I don't go through everything these wrestlers go through when it comes to traveling, booking your own flights, health insurance. I don't go through all that. I just know as what a situation I'm in now, $100,000 sounds great, but $300,000, and for some of these wrestlers, you know what I'm saying, I'm not here to say whether it was good or not, but then that's where some of them problems came from.
I mean, I think also some of his issue becomes that he went from being a big fish in a little pond to a small fish in a big pond.
An ocean.
He was so great. And, you know what all of our parents, grandparents, ancestors, everybody just said, you got to be twice as good to get half as much. And I think that he probably was under the impression that being as good as he is, that he deserved all this stuff that he was getting. And then when it didn't work out in his favor, then he was upset. But part of that, the other part of that old saying is that a lot of times you can still, you can do all of that, but it's still not always going to, you're going to still have to work hard. Like, you don't stop working just because you get twice as good and you get your half as, you get some of your half as much, don't mean you stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of this is coming from a place of anger. Like, the way that he is coming out with it is coming from a place of anger, but he is not entirely incorrect.
He's not entirely incorrect. I'm not going to take him out. It's entirely incorrect, but like, when probably listen to them shows, and sometimes that people feel as though that everything that happens to African Americans on the company is racist.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to be, because like we were talking about before, legacy bears a lot on what people, like your pattern,
uh-huh,
bears a lot of what people think. If you have been doing stereotypical or racist gimmicks with people for years and years and years and years, and just giving people title shots to shut folks up, when it becomes an actual thing and you have talented African American or like other people of color, like, you know, the luchadors coming in and they are good, then they start promoting them because they're good and that they resonate with the crowd, then it looks like it's pandering, when in actuality they earned the spot. But now if you've been doing ridiculous gimmicks for 25 years, and I know that's not the real numbers, but if you're doing ridiculous gimmicks for 25 years, and then for 5 years you decide, you know what, we've got some really good talent back here, why don't we give them an actual push, it's going to look like you just bullshitting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get it, but after a while, you have to, and I mean, after a while, you got to realize that some of it is genuine. Keith Lee is good at what he does.
Yeah, a lot of people go. We just had a whole thing about Naomi, and believe it or not, whether people that think about it or not, R-Truth is good at what he does.
R-Truth, listen, I wish I could be R-Truth's age and do half the shit that he does. I can't do half the shit he does now, and I am only in my 30s. Please. Yeah. So it looks bad. Like, the optics of it may seem bad, but let's be real. It's the same thing, the same argument I've heard in academic institutions. Oh, well, people seem to think that affirmative action seems to mean, like, just because you're black, you get into somewhere. Like, no, I had to have the credentials to get here. Just because your homie that you be on the boat with every weekend is not here because he had a 2.5 GPA, that's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to hear, oh, well, you only here because you're black, and we got to meet a quota. No, I'm here because I worked my ass off. Your homie's not here because he trash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of environment you like swimming in right now, where you feel like you're not supposed to, like, people will make you feel like you're not supposed to be here, or it's pandering because you are here, but you worked your ass off to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Leo Rush is angry just because he worked his ass off and lost his opportunity.
And I think he had multiple. I really think if Drake Maverick did not get his job back, or if Leo Rush got his job back, I think we're singing a different tune.
Yeah, I think we'd be singing partially a different tune. I think he would just be quiet about it, but I feel like he may have experienced something in his time there that makes him legitimately feel the way he does. It just seems worse because he's upset right now.
How do you feel about it, Prime?
I mean, I just...
I'm sorry.
I don't know how to follow that, for one.
Say what?
I said, I don't know how to follow that one, for one.
I'm sorry, my bad.
But, I mean, nah, Leo Rush, he just... Honestly, I like I said, I think whoever made him mad, he just wake up in the morning to see who he can who he can find next to get mad at, honestly. Because literally, it's like almost every week or every other week, he has like a set date where he finds somebody out of nowhere. Literally out of nowhere. Nothing that nobody even knew happened. Nothing. Nobody knew what's going on. Out of nowhere. He could say, you know what? I hate you today.
Yep. And, so I don't, and that's what happened when it came to Finn Balor. About he that said really he calls right out now. Finn Balor. He calls Finn Balor out to squash the beef. And on that Twitter, he also says, let's hit this in the butt. I never had any beef with Finn Balor. I texted you and told you I didn't know where this story even came from. And your words exactly were, I don't want to say anything about it publicly because it would draw more attention to the situation. Well, and then I told you, Finn Balor, I appreciate it if you diffuse the situation because I thought we were cool from the times your now wife watched my son at live events. I knew you had the power / influence to do that. You never text me back and you never diffused the story. Why? And then so
did I miss something? Because I don't even know what story he talked about.
I don't know what he's talking about either.
Nobody does.
Like, Leo Rush had a pair of matches with Finn Balor on Raw a couple years ago.
There was a, if you click, like if you go to that link,
yeah,
where it says this issue with Finn Balor, it takes you to a story about where there was apparently something that was said about them having an incident backstage.
Yeah.
But I guess what he's saying is that never happened. And he doesn't know where the story came from.
Okay. Now, once again, I don't, you know, I don't know what the problem is. He comes out and says, some of y'all are weird AF, man. It doesn't surprise me. I see the kind of people y'all support in the industry on a daily, faithfully. So, and like I said, I don't know what to say, because I'm not going to sit there and say Leo's wrong.
I know he won't go to Booker T podcast and tell a situation.
I mean, he could go anywhere. There is opportunities to go anywhere and tell a situation, but the problem usually... When people realize that they're wrong, or not, I don't even say wrong, or they realize though that people are going to check them on something, they're not going to go to that person. Okay, that's new.
Come to House of Hardcore. I mean, come to what did he tell him?
He gave him the address to his house. Okay,
yeah, so I'm gonna say,
who's giving out addresses?
Booker T.
Oh, for the, who he told to pull up?
I was at Leo Russell. So that was a while ago.
That was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like, so there's a thing where it's just like, okay, well, if this is a problem, we can handle this like men. I'm saying, but he knows if he goes to Booker T podcast, he knows if he goes to Busted Open Radio, he knows if he goes to any of these kind of podcasts, they gonna check him.
They gonna break him down.
Okay. They gonna check him. So right now, it's like, I want to be angry alone. I want to sit there and say what I got to say. But then if you stir in the pot and you don't know where this stuff is coming from, you know what I'm saying? And just to make noise because you're angry. And everybody has
been, hate social media.
Yeah, I'm just like, to the point, I understand. When you're young, you get angry. We were all young. We were all angry. That happens.
I don't want to invalidate his feelings, but I also
that's what I said.
Want
you
him
get
to
angry.
Understand that some of this is, you're going to look back on some of this and be like, maybe I should have handled that differently.
Yeah. He probably could have handled it differently. I think Leo Rush, probably, if there was not too many, so I think he wants to go back to WWE. I really think he wants to do that. And instead of crying in his eyes like a little bitch on camera like Drake Maverick did, he wants to, it's probably his words. That was not mine.
No, but I mean, saying, you're not wrong. It's just funny.
But I'm just saying, but then he's just like, fuck it. If I just, you know, tell him how it is.
If I rant,
If I tell him how it is, then maybe it'll
he
be like
a shoot interview. That's
yeah,
maybe he thinks that he's not gonna get back into WWE, so he just going off. It's possible.
If Ultimate Warrior can get back into WWE, ooh, anybody can get back. If Bret Hart can get back into the WWE,
the only person I think alive right now that can't get back in WWE is CM Punk, and that's it.
Vince said he's not doing business with two people, CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio. That's it.
Alberto Del Rio earned that shit.
Okay, exactly. So those are two people that Vince said he's not doing business with at all.
You want to bet? You want to bet?
I bet that CM Punk has a higher chance than Alberto do.
Yeah. I'll bet that too.
I bet CM Punk got a higher chance of getting back in WWE than Alberto Del Rio does.
He is. He is.
Now watch in a couple years when Mexico takes over half of the United States. You got a great great Mexican in charge over here.
Oh my god!
No, anyway, he'll try to bring Mysterio back in his 50s.
He's not worth the legal fees.
He's not.
He's not worth the legal fees.
Well, with that being said, me and Prime are about to move on to the Wednesday Night War, NXT Bash at the Beach versus AEW's Fight for the Fallen. I'm lying. It's not Bash at the Beach. We was just making that up because NXT always gotta, you know, match what AEW's doing. But AEW did the Fight for the Fallen show.
They're playing months in the head, though.
Yep.
Triple H said they playing the months in the head.
The months in the head, which he did.
Okay.
Which the Fight for the Fallen is going for the people, the COVID victims, which is which is obvious because we lost a shit ton of those people. So, also me and Prime Time about to get ready for the Wednesday Night War. All right, guys, it's the Wednesday Night War between NXT and AEW. So let's start off with NXT here. So NXT, we're going to Keith Lee's going to address the NXT universe of his championship victory. He's a double champion now, North American champion and a champion, and boy, does it feel good. So as Keith Lee is saying that Dominik Dijakovic is coming out and. He respects Keith Lee. You can tell that's a friend of his, and he respects the battles that him and Keith Lee had. They go to war. I call that the big and tall match. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like 6'7". Keith Lee's big, so he says he wants a shot at both championships. Which I thought it would be like, okay, let him get a shot at like the North American Championship, and then you know maybe Dominik Dijakovic can have one. But
I thought originally what he was going to do was just say, I talked to Mr. Regal, and I'm just going to let you have the North American Championship. That's what I thought.
You know what? I think that's what should probably happen. Remember how Stone Cold gave up the championship to The Rock in 97 so he can go get the WWE Championship? But he never lost
usually after they win, they give it up. Like, they give up the secondary championship. Yeah.
But then, however, also, Dominik Dijakovic's character doesn't seem to fall in place with give me the championship. I don't need handouts. I want to beat you. So he wants a match with Keith Lee tonight for winner take all between the NXT championship and North American championship. And Keith Lee is saying sure. So that match is going to happen tonight. We get your boy to start off. Damian Priest takes on Cameron Grimes because, you know, Cameron Grimes slashes tires but can't even be a man to admit it. So, I don't know. I just know that Cameron Grimes pisses you off.
Yes, very much. It's not even funny anymore.
It's like, he hits a Damian Priest hits a Razor's Edge on the apron to Cameron Grimes, which that move always scares me when somebody does it on the apron. And it hits a cyclone kick. A reckoning off the second row.
What did you just say?
Cyclone kick. His cyclone kick.
I thought you said. I said sound like you said a cyclone kick.
Oh, no. Cyclone kick. And then the reckoning off second row. And then he beats Cameron Grimes. And then he wants to be keeping an eye on that North American championship. Because looks like he wants to come after that North American Championship and, you know, be that mid-carder. I mean, him and Diamond Dijakovic would be a good rivalry. I didn't see this match. I didn't see this matchup. Indy Hartwell taking on Shotzi Blackheart.
Indy, I love both of these two.
Okay, well, everybody loves Shotzi Blackheart. So, how does Shotzi lose this matchup?
Robert Stone came out and Aaliyah threw off the turnbuckle.
Can we talk about how last week that Tank ran over his ankle again and how he sold that joy like, oh my God, I'm dying. That joy had me dying.
That's his character is like it's a more goofier version, but a smarter version of Rockstar Spud.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I got you on that one. So, with that being said, we're going on to our next, which is surprisingly early to me. I didn't think they was going to do this just yet, but, they have Keith Lee taking on Dominik Dijakovic when it comes to for winner take all. I thought it was going to be the main event, but I forgot Tegan Nox and Io Shirai was going to be the main event. Once again, these two guys have good chemistry, but this time Keith Lee was showing that he's powerful and he's not backing down from anything this time around. He's not backing down. This match was not about, which I think was booked right. It was not about the bunch of the flips that they can do, or the crazy dives that they can do, or the risks that they take like they do in their other matches. This was a show that Keith Lee's on another level right now, and because Dominik Dijakovic was having trouble getting him up, and they was teasing each other in the beginning of the matchup. He finally gets him up for a side slam, but then Keith Lee powers off. He gives he does multiple shoulder blocks. He hits him with the spirit bomb, then hits him with that Big Bang Catastrophe, and the match is done. This was like one of the shortest matches that they ever had.
Yeah, because they're trying to put Keith Lee over as a double champ, so they had to, unfortunately.
Exactly. So, with that being said, you know, Scarlett and
Man, wait a minute. Looking back at it, has Dominik ever beat Keith Lee in the old NXT? I'm thinking about it.
He's beat him once.
Okay.
Because to the beginning of their feud, Dominik won one, Keith Lee won one, then they had a double count out. And then they had another rubber match, and then Keith Lee won that one. And then, you know, Keith Lee won North America, then he lost North America, and he lost this one. So yeah, Dominik Dijakovic has beaten Keith Lee before.
Alright, good. Good enough.
So Scarlett is going to, you know, doesn't look impressed at ringside. She looks at Keith Lee, who is the one who destroyed the Hourglass last month. But with that being said, Dominik Dijakovic back there being interviewed.
I like how.
Huh? I listen.
I was going to say, I like how they brought the Hourglass out and it was broken.
Yeah. Like, you must have put the Hourglass up. So, Karrion Kross, he should be on Keith Lee's list. So we thought. Because Dominik Dijakovic is being interviewed backstage and he says, look, he said, how was it, you know, you guys have friends going against Keith Lee? He said, look, that ain't Keith Lee out there. I said, I face Keith Lee. He's on another level out there now. That man is on something special. And then Karrion Kross stares him down. He says, so what you going to do? And then him and Dominik Dijakovic get in a scuffle. Then he kind of like gives Dominik Dijakovic that belly-to-back suplex. He popped those hips and suplexed him over the guardrail to like the concrete or on the stage equipment. And then loosens up his tie, which took forever because he wish he had a clip on that tie because it took him a while to get that tie off. So it looks like we're going to go into a Karrion Kross Dominik Dijakovic matchup pretty soon. So I don't want Karrion Kross to do a winner take all with Keith Lee. Keith Lee does not deserve to lose it this short, especially to Karrion Kross. Keith Lee's better than Karrion Kross.
That's what I thought Adam Cole was going to win and they just give it to him.
Exactly. So I'm curious to see that. Timothy Thatcher, you know, is once again doing the classes, but he's taking on your boy, Denzel Dejanet. His was funny, right? So I was watching it with my son downstairs, and then my mom was right there, and she was just like, is he coming out with a fucking towel on? That's a towel with a hole in it. Come on, bruh. And I was just like, yo, you didn't have to expose my man like that, though, because he really did come out with a towel with a hole in it. And I just, yeah, you know what? I like I said, I go for my black guys, but Denzel is not good. he's a decent amateur wrestler, but once again, he's a jobber. He's not going to be anything until, you know, he gets a character created for him and stuff like that. So then,
never.
No, okay. Timothy Thatcher.
I can see him being Angelo Dawkins.
Oh, that is not a goal to be. That's messed up. That is not a goal to be. After the matchup, he gets a Fujiwara armbar on Denzel. Thatcher wins, and then Orny Lorcan runs down to the ring in his jeans, his OJ jeans, and then chases out Thatcher. So this thing is not over between Lorcan and Thatcher. That should be a good matchup.
Main event, his what jeans?
His OJ jeans. You know, OJ back in the East wear all that wash denim.
Did he drive in it? Nah,
never mind. No, see, he was going there. I left it alone.
Hey, it's a new truck. They just now came out with a new one.
I missed the Robert Stone, Killian Dame, Aaliyah segment. What happened there? Do you remember?
What's the creeper name? Oh my god.
Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, he had a picture, and she got a picture. It was like. Of stuff that happened last week.
Oh, him and Velveteen Dream?
No, last week. So I guess they not gonna have him like see the future anymore because of, you know.
Because
he used to.
Because his future was wrong. I wonder what happened to that picture of him and Velveteen Dream with the tag team championship.
Yeah. So I guess they gonna say, all right, we gonna just do the past.
Yeah.
What happened last week?
Oh, that's funny. Main event time, NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai defeated Tegan Nox. I have to say this. Congratulations for Tegan Nox being the second woman to come out as a lesbian. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy for her because she came out.
Wait, the second.
Sonya Deville was the first one.
You must be talking about just WWE because I know Kiera Hogan too.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm not saying, okay, in WWE. Openly,
I apologize.
Open, you know, lesbians and stuff like that, because they really do that at WWE. Sonya Deville was the first one to do it in WWE. Tegan Nox has come out also, so I'm very happy for her, very proud of her, you know what I'm saying? May love come to all. And I wanted to make sure I get that out the way also. So she's taking on Io Shirai. And honestly, I had no faith that Tegan Nox was going to win this matchup in the first place, but this was a damn good match, though.
Yeah, it was very solid.
It was a very solid
match. Something didn't click for me still.
Maybe it was the build-up to the Chinese Wizard that you know that the move still sucks. And then Io Shirai goes and does a double knee right into the steel steps. And that air bump, like, it was sick and it hurt, like, you know. But then she goes for the Chinese Wizard, gets missed. And then Shirai hits the palm strike and then hits her with the moonsault, and the genius of the sky retains her women's championship in her first title defense, and that was good. But then she's walking up the ramp, Dakota Kai come out of nowhere. First of all, I know who that was. I know
the boobs of the face.
Yeah, Dakota Kai comes out and blasts her with the face wash on top of the stage. I'm just like, why is Dakota Kai doing this stuff when she just clearly been losing? That's the thing I'm talking about. I'm like, but they got to put somebody else in that spot. Even if it was Raquel Gonzalez or something like that, but y'all just put Dakota Kai in there. And I'm like, is the thing with her and Tegan Nox done? You know, but I guess.
Yeah, you know, they're fierce rivals, even though all their matches ain't in roll-ups.
Now it's time to go on AEW Dynamite, which we are doing Fight for the Fallen. On commentary, Jim Ross obviously is on commentary. And then Jericho... just don't like them Joe Balls, man. This is obviously the fight for the Fallen is something that AEW has been doing annually now, where they fight for certain victims, stuff like that. So this year is obviously for the COVID-19 victims. We've had too many of those in America alone, of course, across the United States, but America alone. So they're raising money for that fund. They're raising money. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm sounding like my president. My apologies on that one. So, across the world, And of course, the United States, so they're raising money for that. Well, all the proceeds for tonight's show will go to, you know, saying the research and
trying. So, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
What proceeds? Where do they get the money from? Are they raising money? They selling T-shirts? They're not selling tickets.
And you know what? That's good. It's probably even like this. All right, Tony Khan, write a check and give it to him. I'm saying, so I guess it's like that. I'm guessing. I don't know how that works. I just like.
I understand. And they was doing like a stream or something. It was like, all right, we'll pay $3 or something.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, I just want them to do good. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, it's now we got the kicking off tonight. So we're doing it for the AEW TNT Championship, which is still not done. The American Nightmare.
I don't think it's gonna be done until like the first day they have fans or something. Like
probably
they have real fans. They be like, all right, now we're gonna unveil something special, like he did when he did the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, you right. So we got. Is he gonna be champion that long? Damn. Okay. So TNT Championship. The American Nightmare, Cody.
It is Cody now. You know.
Yeah, with his head coach Arn Anderson taking on what is Sonny Kiss's nickname?
Was it
the Concrete Rose?
I don't know. The Concrete Rose?
I'm guessing is that what it is?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what the hell that means.
I didn't know Sonny Kiss had a nickname, to be honest with you.
Everybody at AEW has a nickname. You know that. Everybody at AEW has a nickname. Sonny Kiss, this is the biggest night in Sonny Kiss' career. This is his WrestleMania because Sonny Kiss has been on AEW Dark for over a year. He just started having those segments, which I thought was pretty cool, with Joey Janela in the car. And they had that whole Mortal Kombat beatdown thing at the gas station.
I liked it, but then so many people made jokes about it, which just made it. I can't even watch it without laughing.
Well, you're supposed to, though. Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to take it too seriously. I mean, I want to see more of that, to be honest with you. So, Sonny Kiss gets the opportunity. Obviously, Cody's doing the Cena thing with the United States Championship, so, you know, this is what it is. It's supposed to be a television title. So
you might have to want some.
But you know what, though? Sonny Kiss came out with the cheerleaders and stuff like that, so Sonny Kiss had himself a decent interest, too.
Yeah, but Jim Ross. Did you hear what he said?
No, I did not hear what he said. I kind of don't want, but what did Jim Ross say?
Sonny Kiss is playing mind games. That's what he said. How is he playing mind games?
Sonny Kiss is playing mind games, son. So he over there being what's Orlando Jordan? This thing ain't real.
I was like, what do you mean? He's playing mind games. I can understand if he was
Goldust,
like trying to do something towards Cody. This man literally just came out. Talk about mind games.
No, he's just gay. That's all it is. That's all it is. Goldust plays mind games. Sonny Kiss is authentic. Okay, that's the way he's been. So,
I can understand he was doing like more Goldust stuff. He was like coming out in a Cody Rhodes mask or something. This man literally, all he did was walk out and do a dance in his mind games.
Uh-huh. All
right.
Sonny counted Cody's offense with a crossroads of his own that hits a 450 on Cody, which is a near fall. I knew Sonny wasn't going to win, but that's like one of his finishing moves, so I was just like, okay, I figured that was
probably technical. We don't know what his finishing move is. He just does a 450.
You know what? You're right.
His finisher is a split from the top rope.
Oh, gotcha. They start throwing haymakers at each other. Cody takes off the turnbuckle pad. Psst, heel turn coming. And then Sonny knocks Cody into the turnbuckle, which did not look good. And I don't mean like it hurt. It looked like he didn't get all of it at all.
Yeah.
So then, this is the part of the match I didn't like. It was like, why is Sonny Kiss wasting so much time? Because it looked like Cody forgot his spot or something. Where he was throwing these forearms. And it was like, he was sitting there just waiting, and they throw another forearm, and like, was he waiting for Cody to come back and hit him? I was like, I don't get it. And then he does the course for the spin around.
Yeah, that's, he still does need training though. Well, not training, but you know, he still is working too.
Yeah, he needs polish. I mean, obviously he's been working AEW Dark. He needs to work on a little bit of some of the stuff. He got put into a big situation kind of early. He got hit with the crossroads, and then Cody wins the matchup. They share a hug afterwards. So I thought it was a decent opener.
I just didn't like how he wasn't built up, but yet kicking out of a crossroads.
Yeah, I agree. You know, everybody tried to have that fight spirit, but I'm like, yeah, you know.
I just like when it makes sense, though. Like, I can understand if Sonny was on the show more and he was built up, like we see him wrestle more, and we at least know what his finisher is or something. Literally, we don't know anything about Sonny other than he's gay. That's all we know.
Exactly. You're right. Squared off for the first time, we have FTR, Dax Harwood, and Cash Wheeler taking on the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon.
Top guys.
Pentagon and Rey Fénix. The Lucha Bros pulled up in the stolen truck of FTR's by the Butcher and the Blade. So Taz is on commentary. Both teams stand for two different things in pro wrestling. So the match, I did not get to see all of this matchup. I know FTR beats the Lucha Bros.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Rey Fénix doing his lucha stuff, and was it Dax? I think it was Dax. He just said, "You know, I'm sick of this. Take his mask off and roll him up."
Gotcha. Oh, that's right. That is right. He took Rey Fénix mask off, and he got it with the roll up. So that was a clever heel thing to do. So afterwards, yeah. Butcher Blade have the keys, but then they get beat up by the Young Bucks, and they go to give the keys back to FTR, and then. Kenny comes down with a cooler. That big cooler for just them three beers. So he comes down and he's like, "I want to make up for what happened last week. My bad. My bad, y'all. My bad." Okay? So he gives the two beers to FTR, and he opens it like he's about to drink it, and then they pour the beer right on his head. So that right there, now Kenny trying to get a little pissed, and then they pour Omega's head to him, and he has to back away. Next up, La Champion Chris Jericho comes out with the Inner Circle, Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz. I do not know how long Sammy Guevara is going to be suspended for.
I said a month, so it's probably he'll probably come out next week or week after next.
Oh, okay, yeah, probably so. Jericho was and everybody was carrying jugs of orange juice. Don't waste good orange juice, people. And he was talking about some that Orange Cassidy had one of the best matches in his life, and they run the ratings war, because what you don't understand is that, you know, they may have more viewers, but we, from the demographic from 18 to 49, we won a demographic, so that makes me, I'm the king of the ratings, man. I'm the demo god. Chris.
Oh, Jericho, man.
That's Jericho. So, he says, but then now Orange Cassidy's advertisers tell the networks that he wants a rematch. And he said, well, if you want a rematch, you're not getting one. You had your chance. He was good, but not good enough. And then, so they all drink some orange, and then they pour some out for Orange Cassidy. And then all of a sudden, freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy comes from the crowd like he the Shield. And then he gives a little lazy thumbs up, and it turns to a thumbs down. And then all of a sudden...
I don't know why I like his thumbs up for no reason. Like, it is.
But Jericho is still already there. Takes with the La Champion. Then also he puts a thumb down. Orange juice falls from the sky. It falls all over Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle. I was pissed off of how Ortiz just kept falling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, bro, I get it the first time.
It would have been good.
I get it the first time. I'm like, what you're doing is just redundant. It's too much.
Sometimes it would have been good, but then he just kept doing it like an idiot.
Yeah, like even Jericho.
Like if it was all of them doing that, then it probably would make more sense. But they literally just standing looking at him like, "What are you doing?"
Even Jericho was like, "Get up, you idiot!" So
now, if it was getting sprayed, like how Steve Austin sprayed him. Yeah, that would be way different.
That would be different when Vince got sprayed with the beer and Shane, and then The Rock was getting sprayed, and The Rock was like losing his balance. He was using the ropes to hold him up, and Vince like trying to swim away.
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff is better, but when you got one asshole acting like a clown, which, excuse me, they're doing the Sean Stasiak. Remember with the milk?
Yeah.
Okay, when Sean Stasiak kept slipping off and everything like that.
It's not even like it's like constantly like coming at him. It's literally just one drop and that was it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they give him a towel, and the towel ends up being an Orange Cassidy towel. And he is just not a fan of that at all. Up next we have the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. We're not in the Street Fighter clothes today with the Ken and Ryu and Akuma. Taking on the Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt. Jericho covered in OJ.
Wait a minute. Just real quick. They started this match with Kenny Omega, the best bout machine, quote unquote, and Marco Stunt. I would have just forced him down to pin 10.
Because I was like, well, I think my daughter can bully Marco Stunt. Because Marco Stunt is just like, it looks like a little kid there wrestling. And he said, I would have just get your ass on the ground. I would have sting pinned him like he did Jeff Hardy.
He was on my weight on his arms. Can't kick up.
Yeah, I might look. Remember how Sting pinned Jeff Hardy at Victory Road?
Yeah, like that.
I put my weight like, stay down! I would have did that. So it starts out with that Jericho, George, Jim Ross, Excalibur still outraged and covered in OJ on commentary. So I like that.
This might be one of his best hours on commentary.
Oh, Jericho commentary is great. It's like he switches gears from being La Champion in the Circle, Chris Jericho, to being Chris Jericho on commentary.
He had a good line that I would say with Marco Stunt hit a 450. He was like, it has no damage. It's like a tissue doing a 450. That is hilarious.
It's true. It's like a tissue doing a 450. Oh, that's good. It crashed down on them, but they broke up the pinfall as if they needed to, to be honest with you, because they did. Luchasaurus grabs Matt for a choke slam. I know Marcus says sails off the Luchasaurus shoulders with a Canadian Destroyer on Matt. That looked nice.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna lie. I mean, even though the Canadian Destroyer in AEW is so redundant, it's just but however, I'm just like, fine. Kenny Omega hits the V trigger on Luchasaurus and then blasts his Marco Stunt with the he kicked the shit. He kneed the shit out of Marco Stunt in the face. I was like,
give him a little extra. Yep.
Yeah, when he did that, I was just like, you probably should just pin him now. But he hit him hard and then hit the one winged angel, and then day one. So Kenny Omega's laughing. Everybody begins to club it up like, yo man, good match. And then he tried to go help up Marco. And he started beating the shit out of Marco Stunt. And they were like, whoa, Kenny, what's wrong? Kenny tried to apologize to Marco, but Marco wasn't interested in hearing it. But I'm just like, but look, I'm beating up the kid too, man. I see anime. Why are you even here? You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. Why are you even here? Alex Marvez is interviewing Hikaru Shida.
Hikaru,
God darn it!
It's like saying Hikaru.
Oh, that sounds even worse. Hikaru Shida backstage and says she's waiting for the Native Beast, Nyla Rose. The Nightmare Sisters, Brandi Rose and Ali. What? Was so funny.
I just seen a meme and it said. It said it's about Jada Will, and it's like, Jada, I just had an entanglement. And then August said, I just wanted to figure it. And then he said, Teddy Long, hold on a minute, player. You want to have entanglements? You tangle one on one with the Undertaker.
That's wrong. Oh, entangle one on one with the Undertaker. Okay, I'm saving that one.
That's hilarious.
The Nightmare Sisters, Brandi Rose and Allie, with the natural Dustin Rose, take on MJ Jenkins.
They don't explain.
With the Nightmare Sisters?
Yeah, because I've seen them on they have been elevating on Dark. They've been telling the story. They don't explain that story on the actual show.
Mm-hmm. However,
like, both of them are like, you know, like the first day she didn't want to tag with her, and then she gave her the win. She did her finisher, and Allie gave her the win. Now it's just like they not even, you know.
Yeah.
They not even explaining it. They just all of a sudden look like each other.
Mm-hmm. So, I dropped the elbow on Penn Jenkins. Dusty Rose lifted up Brandy's arm in victory, but then didn't want to raise Allie's. So,
Dustin still don't,
reluctantly, I should say that way. They go into Dasha was interviewing the Nyla Rose. Once again, the nickname, the Native Beast. Everybody got a nickname in AEW. and she said, you know, who her manager be. She says, I'm not telling you or anybody, I'm not telling you anything because I'm going to let them say it for themselves. So Vicky Guerrero comes out. Excuse me. So
did you hear her theme song?
I did not hear it over the excuse me.
That's what it is. It's like a excuse me. Excuse me. That's what it is.
Yo, that is like when you playing with wrestlers as a kid and you try to find a theme song for generic guy number 3. Or, you know, when you have your other toy that don't match the wrestler, like when you bring your Johnny Cage over to your wrestling pile and you try to think of a song for it and you make up a theme song like that. That's what that would be. If I was a kid and knew Vicky Guerrero as a manager, that would be her theme song. Excuse me. That's what it would be. Vicky Guerrero comes out to the ring and said, what's the strategy going to be for Nyla Rose? She says, when Nyla Rose and I are ready to go after the AEW Women's Championship, it will be the perfect time. So they're going to build Nyla Rose back up again. So
even if but I don't understand. She does good promos. She's like one of the best promos in the whole show.
Yeah, she's not Brian Cage. You know, say Taz works for Brian Cage, but I mean, like,
and then she's already a champion at that. So like, how does that? I don't understand.
I don't know, but see, here's the thing. Also, AEW is good with managers, but AEW does too. See, now it's starting to get to the point like everybody don't need a manager. Everybody don't need a manager. Because everybody, look, Shawn Spears got one and ain't working. Then we got Cody that got one who don't need one. We got Brian Cage that got Taz. We got now Nyla Rose that got Vicky Guerrero. We got Kip Sabian who got Penelope Ford. Like, we got all these managers. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Oh, and then we got Lance Archer with Jake Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's time for the the AEW World Championship against the FTW champion. The Machine Brian Cage goes against John Moxley. This match.
We don't have a nickname.
John Moxley does not have a nickname. His nickname is AEW Champ. That's what it is. Or it was alluded to. I don't know what it was. But I'm going to tell you this right now. This match bored the hell out of me. Now, granted, I see the thing. Moxley never tested positive for COVID. Renee did. So he was just around her. So they took precautions. He's going to be around his wife. So he decided to stay away. They never confirmed that Moxie had COVID. So
I don't think he had it, but he was just being safe in case he did.
Exactly. No, cause I remember we were talking off the show, and he was like, he's not going to wrestle like that well if he had COVID. I'm just like, I agree with you, but that man ain't had no COVID. But he been just wrestling up for 3 weeks, and he came back, and there was a spot on the outside of the ring where Moxley takes the steel guardrail, leans up against the floor and the apron, and then gets German suplex. So he tried to suplex Brian Cage on there, but Brian Cage German suplexes him on that. That like it sucked. Brian Cage also gives him a buckle bomb. They tried different things in this matchup, but it really just bored me because I don't think their two styles clashes. And Brian Cage works good with smaller guys. And Brian Cage works at that almost fast paced cruiserweight level. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and then...
That I want to be a high flyer. Level.
Exactly. Except, because I don't think Brian Cage has learned big man moves yet. He learns, you know, powerful stuff to do to little guys, but I don't think he'd learned truly big man moves yet. And Moxley is a brawler. That's the way he fights. He's a brawler. He's not the greatest technician that there is. He's not no Eddie Guerrero in the ring. He's just a brawler who does great hardcore matches, and then he just, you know, whatever works, doing with the kitchen. So he's a Stone Cold in a way. So those two styles don't always mesh well together. And then so he Moxley has Cage in an armbar. He works on his arm where the torn bicep was at, and he's ripping at it. And then
which makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. It makes a ton of sense. I'm not taking away from that.
I'm saying because usually people now they don't go after one body part that's been injured, and then they like try to finish the match. They usually work on the whole body part, their whole match, and then do their regular finisher.
Exactly.
Like how he actually went after.
Yeah, this one I will say does make sense. And then he gives the middle finger to Taz, and Taz is like, "Yo, screw you." And then so, but as Taz is like, "I'm protecting my investment," he throws in the towel for Brian Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And then he forfeits the match because he didn't want to have Cage back on the show for another 10 more months, which was by manager's situation is smart, but it's like it kind of bored the main event to me. I didn't like the finish too much, but I understood why they did it. Then the lights go off for an uncomfortably long time. I thought the power actually did go out. Then they had to wait for Darby Allin to find the turnbuckle. And then when they come back on, Darby Allin is there and does his Brian Cage in the throat with a skateboard. So
yeah, that's it.
That's basically what it was. And then so Darby Allin's going to be getting his ass beat by Brian Cage next week probably. So that was AEW. So once again, who won for the week, AEW or NXT?
I have to let you go first. I really don't know.
I'm going to go with Fight for the Fallen One this week. Because I did like Io Shirai and Tegan Nox. I did like the Keith Lee stuff. But I think other than those two, the show held no weight. This one felt better because Sonny Kiss got his opportunity for the TNT Championship. The whole six-man tag match was awesome between the Elite versus Jurassic Express, and then you put that little seed in there with Kenny Omega, FTR, and Lucha Brothers.
The top guys in the Lucha Brothers. Yeah.
All that great stuff. And then, like I said, I like the award. Nyla Rose reveals the manager, and then, of course, you got Brian Cage and Moxley, which wasn't a bad match for the most, but it just bored me. But that's what we have it, guys. So you guys can post that in the comments down below which one did you guys like for the week and everything, and make sure you find a way to subscribe to Nerdculture Studios. But that's the end of the No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling podcast for this week. The first podcast coming to you on the new Nerdculture Studios channel. So make sure you guys out there right now, I'm going to put tabs out there. Make sure you guys subscribe to Nerd Coalition Studios because the Nerd Coalition channel is going to be terminated. So we need all of our subscribers to come over to that channel. Nerd Coalition Studios is the channel you can get all your wrestling, all your movie reviews, all your fat reacts, all the pop culture stuff that's going to happen. That's where the channel's going to be at. Then when you go to subscribe to Nerd Coalition Game Level Up, that's where you get all the gaming. And if you're a wrestling fan, you like to see my 2K videos and my 2K universe and all that stuff like that, you're going to go over there and get the whole experience when it comes to the level up side of things where we get the gaming and stuff like that. Or if you enjoy the fight scene when I play fighting games, the WWE 2K Battlegrounds, when that comes out and when I plan on getting it, that's the channel that's all that stuff is going to be on. So you guys got to make sure you check that out, because I hope Primetime gets it too, and me and Primetime can play it, because I think, I don't know if it's going to have crossplay. It said it's going to have crossplay, but I know that a game like this, I'm probably getting on Switch. I don't need it on PlayStation. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It depends how it is, because if it's like All-Stars, then I may get it on PlayStation too, but I'm just like, but you know, it all depends. It's not an expensive game, but you know, I'll see how I'm feeling, because you know, I got the two popular systems that he over there with the Xbox, but I ain't going to say nothing, but hey. So make sure you subscribe to Nerd Coalition Studios and Nerd Coalition Level Up. There is going to be an influx of videos that you guys are going to be getting because we're putting all of our content over. So please make sure that don't be alarmed by you getting like alert after alert after alert after alert after alert, because videos are going to be coming up as you try to create, you know, the stuff on the channel. So, once again, check out SpaciousPhilly.com, the production company we are a part of. SpaciousPhilly.com, you can find Lulu and Pop, Lulu and Pop Horror War Show, Both Sides, and Market Dark Show. You can find all of our Nerd Coalition podcasts over there. No Gimmicks Needed, Turntable, Semi Culture and Beyond, Nerdgasm Talk, Drunk Dog Sober Tongue, Ballers Lounge, and soon to becoming Man Talk. And then also make sure you guys check out us on all the podcast apps: Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, SoundCloud. Not SoundCloud no more. iHeartRadio, Spotify, and YouTube Premium. If you guys listen to us on YouTube Premium as well, check out Primetime's Prime Nostalgia Podcast. Prime Nostalgia Podcast, where all the great stuff with nostalgia comes up there. Like I said, his thing is rolling strong, and I do. Primetime is a member of Nerd Coalition also, so he will be helping out. If you listen to this podcast, please subscribe to Nerd Coalition Studios and Nerd Coalition Level Up. You guys are gonna be hearing that from me for at least about a month until I can get close to my number that I have now back on my channel. Y'all gonna be hearing that. So I'm just saying. So, thanks again, Primetime. And once again, this is NC in Place to Be, Chum Chum, Mr. A&D, and not Deion Sanders for Primetime.
Yo.
All right. It's been real. Oh, but so Papa Foyer, check your rollies. It's crime time. That's how you about to do. All right. And Q-Flow, man, wherever you're at, take us out.
To your ears, welcome to the show. We don't need any gimmicks, you already know. So sit back, relax, and hit the like button. Go and share with your friends and keep the likes coming. Swag on trivia and prompts top five. Either way, it's fun and you're hearing it live. Join with your host, Mr. A&E. Yeah, you know it's the place to be. It's NC.